thank Rob Baronis, kicker for Tennessee, and also want to thank our friend Josh Brown, who joined us a few weeks ago. What a season he's had. I just love it when the kickers show how important they are. We're also joined by a guy that probably could eat kickers along with quarterbacks for lunch, Sam Huff. How are you, bud?
Well, I'm doing good, Nick. I'm still alive, you know. And the Redskins, I don't think, everybody in March, were talking about them going to the Super Bowl. Well, I think they might go, but you got to give them a ticket.
Got to give them a ticket now.
Yeah, you got to give them a ticket now, yeah. It's the only way they're going, I think.
Well, let's skip over the Redskins game and go straight to the Giants clash against Dallas. Giants played pretty well. Manning played reasonably well. Let's start first with Leonard Dawson. It looks like Eli Manning's velocity on the ball, a lot of the balls that he's throwing now, he's played reasonably well, but they seem to be kind of dying at the end. Have you followed his technique, and do you think he's lacking something there?
I don't know. I haven't seen that much, but generally what happens is the legs aren't involved in the throw. You got to get your legs involved in throwing the football, or the thing's going to take off on you, either upwards or downwards. But I just looking at his eyes to see what I see there, and I don't see a great deal of confidence. Last year he came through and pulled some games out, and you could see that, you know, he felt pretty good about himself. But you know, that's a tough place to play, as Sam knows, particularly when you're not going well, and you know, people are going to be all over your case. And generally speaking, I guess he's handled it pretty well. But the bottom line is, Mister, if you're there or anyplace else, you better win, or else you got to face the consequences.
We talked to Bill Moss last week about the only quarterback who seems to be able to throw very accurately without his feet set, and that's a guy named Tony Romo, who started off slow. And do you agree with me, Sam Huff, that when a guy starts off slow in a big game like that, yet comes back, finds a way to get it done when it matters most, that's an incredibly important sign for Tony Romo?
Well, I think what Bill Parcells did, you know, is to insert him a few weeks ago, and, you know, because his number one quarterback was just throwing interceptions and everything else, and, you know, like Lenny and I have talked, you know, that you just, I don't know how quarterbacks do it. They can't protect themselves. They got people calling plays for them. They're just, you know, just out there, and that's what's happening, and it's getting late in the season, and they're getting beat up a little bit because, I mean, these linebackers and these safeties blitzing are hitting them. And, you know, you talk about Manning, I think he is hitting the wall again. He hit the wall a few times last year, and Lenny just mentioned it, but I think he's going into a tail dive here, and it's going to be hard to pull him out. The Giants have had some injuries, you know, to their defensive ends and so forth, but the quarterback has to be good in New York. Why, Tittle was, Charlie Connelly was, and all these guys, that is the top, and Lenny knows it, and I know it. You got to win in New York.
Len Dawson, the Giants were at the goal line against Dallas twice and had to, quote, I hate to say this, but settle for field goals. If you're the man in charge of the offense for the Giants, what do you think is the most effective strategy when you're in close?
Well, I think it depends on what down it is. And Sam can tell you better than me what the defense is thinking, but I always felt if you're inside the 5-yard line, inside the 10-yard line, if you're going to throw the ball, do it on first down and do it from a play pass action, because that might hold the linebackers, it might get the safeties up there, and you might sneak somebody back there, get wide open for an easy score. But what happens most of the time is they want to run the ball in. Yeah, it'd be great if you could, but you know, you're going to have 11 people up there on near that line of scrimmage, and it's tough to run the ball in. So if play calling is important, and of course Sam mentioned it, quarterback isn't calling the plays, somebody else is calling the plays. And when you're throwing passes, quarterbacks feel better with certain patterns. You know, they feel more comfortable. It might be square in, it might be, you know, might be square out or whatever it is. They feel more comfortable throwing that particular pattern. And if somebody else is calling the plays, then that pattern may never be called. Because I talk to quarterbacks and I say, do you not go to your coach, you know, at the end of the week when you're getting ready to play, and tell them what you prefer? Some of them say yes, and an awful lot of them say no. That the coach is just, you know, he's got the game plan, and you've got to adhere to whatever he calls.
I got the feeling that Eli Manning does not have the best, and this is just my own judgment, does not have the most open communication right now, but they played a better game. Bottom line is they still lost. Now let's shift to the idea of tackling. The Chiefs forgot about how to do it on the road yesterday. Here's Tom Jackson from Friday's show about the evident lack of tackling. You've got teams that are giving up 200 yards rushing every game now.
tackling team because we tackled. We tackled in practice. We tackled in camp. We tackled, you know, on Thursday, Wednesday.
Were your full pads on Thursday?
I'm talking about having some full speed tackling. We're going to do some inside the five for fun. For fun. I mean, it was fun. and a goal line drill called the head bump drill. This thing where you would dive over the, you would have a guy dive over the goal line, perceived goal line. We would have somebody go spear that guy. And it made us a great goal line team.
That's Tom Jackson. Before we let you go, I'll give you a chance to tell us more about tackling and the bread and butter of that defense, Sam Huff. What's missing today from teams' defenses that is allowing so many teams to gash them for 150, 200 yards every game?
Well, all these guys are trying to strip the ball carrier of the ball. And that's the mistake, as Tom Jackson said. You know, you got to hit people. But they've ruled out hitting with your helmet. And that's one of the things that... you're getting poor tackling now because these guys get penalized if their helmet does anything. You know, if you hit a guy with your helmet, it's helmet to helmet. They call it right away, 15-yard penalty on the defense. So they've just about ruled out the defense that you could play. And let me say this, and Lenny can hear this too. The most difficult play for a defense to stop inside the 5-yard line or even out on the field is the rollout. When the quarterback rolls out, he's got the tight end, he's got the fullback, and he's got three guys on the same side of the field. And he can throw it to any one of those three guys. Or, if he's got a good runner, you know, like Vic, you can run it in. So that's the toughest play for a defense to stop. And most guys just stay in the pocket there, and they get drilled right now.
Well, thanks for joining us, Sam. Appreciate it, buddy. And listen, be patient with those poor old Redskins, and maybe we'll find a new quarterback in Jason Campbell for next year.
Well, he's chucking and ducking right now.
Yep.
What happened to Todd Collins? That's what I want to know.
Hey, he's drawing a paycheck. He hadn't played it down that I know of, you know, and he's the third man on the totem pole now.
He is? Okay.
He's number three.
He was number two here for a number of years. Well, never
he
played
was
here either.
He was number two till they took Campbell from number three to number one.
That's a pretty good life he's got. He'd get his handicap down to scratch because, you know, he never gets hit.
Yeah, you got that right.
Well, Sam, appreciate it, buddy. Tell
okay.
Tom we said hi.
Take care. Bye.
All right, we're going to switch back to the quarterback of the moment, too, in many ways, and Vince Young and a team that, as we talked with Rob Baronis about, that has found a magic. And joining us is Howard Balzer from USA Today. Howard, how are you?
Doing well, Nick. Len, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
Hey, can I ask Len one quick question, Nick?
Sure.
You know, the NFL Network announced today that the next in their line of Super Bowl tributes is the Chiefs team, which Len is involved in the... talking about that team back that won the year after the Jets, and they're rated number 18. But I want to know, Len, are you going to send out a release like the Raiders did complaining about the ranking? Did you see that release?
I didn't know we were in the top what? What, top 20? They asked me to promo it, I guess, on Thursday or Friday,
right.
Friday coming up.
You would love this story, guys. I mean, you know, I spoke to Steve Sable last week, and you know, of course, NFL Films and them are all involved in this. And he said when NFL Network suggested that they rank these top 20 Super Bowl teams, he said, "Well, I don't want any part of that because I know people are going to come after me." So far, it's the 83 Raiders were 20, the 99 Rams 19, and the Chiefs 18. They're just going to announce them week by week as they count down toward one. So the Raiders sent out a release last week with Tom Flores ripping the rankings that the Raiders team was only ranked number 20th. I mean, here's a team that's 2-10, and they're worried about where some 53 people ranked their Super Bowl team. I just think it's comical.
Well, we'll have Tom on because Tom has been on with Len a number of times. Don't you think we should have Tom on as give him a chance to respond?
Definitely. I think that would be great. And, you know, it's a ranking. It's a vote. I mean, come on.
Yes.
You know, we get in trouble when we have rankings and votes. And for a second, let's do a little crossbreeding here and talk about the BCS, what your personal opinions are about whether Michigan should be there. Len Dawson, let's start with you, or whether it should be Florida.
I have... Well, I'm a Big Ten guy. You asking me that question, I'd like to see Ohio State, Michigan. I'd like to see the rematch of that game. I'll tell you, they're two outstanding football teams, and what a game they had the first time they played.
Well, you know,
Howard Balzer, before you respond, I don't understand why they don't mention that small, insignificant fact that Michigan played at Ohio State, that the nature of the BCS is to play on a neutral field, and if Michigan's playing on a neutral field, they've got a real good shot of beating Ohio State.
And, you know, I think it just points up the fallacy of the whole system.
Yeah.
And what's ironic is they wanted to create a system that didn't have as much emphasis on the human element, and yet this was totally the human element because the two, Michigan and Florida, tied in the computer rankings, and so Florida goes because both polls had them had them second ahead of Michigan, and actually there was one voter, believe it or not, guys, in the Harris poll that had Florida number one, didn't even have Ohio State number one. So when you have stuff like that going on, it points to the fallacy of it. And here's another problem. Florida gets this basically by virtue of having an extra game because their conference has a conference championship game. If they didn't have this extra game, Michigan would be going. And so it's just crazy. And maybe if there's enough of this insanity that goes on from year to year, they'll come up with a better system. But it just doesn't make sense to decide it this way.
This isn't the first one, though, has it, Howard?
No. I mean,
this isn't the first time it's happened.
It's never going to end. Listen, guys, when we come back, final segment, let's talk about Chicago and whether they can win without a quarterback. It's the condition of the young quarterback, and Rex Grossman will be right back on Head Games on Sports Byline and Sirius Satellite. Stay with us.